Hi, Kelly. Hi, Shar. I'm so excited that you're here.
Hi.
Oh, my
gosh. We're excited, too.
The Drinking and Screaming podcast is here. I'm very excited because I have a horror film that I've not seen, and I feel like you two are perfect to help me watch it.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Give it to me.
The movie is Friday the 13th.
Wait, you've never seen Friday the 13th?
I feel really nervous because I really want to be friends with you both, and I know you're really into like horror stuff, and I'm kind of nervous now. But no, I've never seen it, and
oh,
I don't.
Man.
All I really know about it is this. This is the movie with the hockey mask and this creepy chainsaw, right?
Not a chainsaw. I don't want to give you too many spoilers.
We can't really. Well, I mean, the chainsaw you're thinking of, The Hills Have Eyes?
Our Texas maybe. Chainsaw?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What are you doing, Kelly?
Listen, okay, so here's the thing. When you said that and you were, like, worried that you couldn't be friends with us, I'm in so many, like, shitty cultures of, like, nerd culture and horror movie culture that I hate that mindset. I'm just really excited that you get to watch this movie now for the first time.
Oh, well, okay, now I feel better. I'm not a huge horror movie fan. I don't like a lot of scary things, even though the Saw series is one of my favorite series. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to like this movie.
I think you will. And I definitely won't do what happened to me, which when I told, because I also didn't see Friday the 13th before watching it for our podcast, Drinking and Screaming. And right before I told a friend, oh, we're going to watch it for the first time. And then my friend was like, is it the one where? And then they spoiled it.
That's like the cardinal sin. You can't do that.
It was
that.
So sad. Yeah. So I'm excited that you get to go in knowing just that it's a hockey mask.
Well, now I'm a little scared, but I'm so excited that I get to talk to you both about it after I watch this movie. So I guess hopefully I will make it out alive.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's also one of those old enough movies where I'm like, even if you are afraid of horror movies, I think you'll be fine.
I sure hope so.
Good luck. See you on the other side.
Kelly, Shar, I am drinking the lovely Burn Down Camp Blood drink that Kelly created.
Yay.
It's amazing.
Woohoo!
Thank you so much. Patrons, we are going to have special access to this amazing recipe and a beautiful photo, might I add. I don't know. I think Kelly took it. Like,
yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful photo.
It involves burning down my house to get that perfect shot.
It was worth it. It was so worth it because it's a beautiful photo. The recipe's great. Highly recommend. So all of our patrons are going to get access to this on our Patreon page. But I wanted to talk to you both before we talk about the movie about the reason why we have been brought together, All the Horror, this really fun event. So this is Jackie Watches Stuff first, All the Horror. Have you both participated before?
Yes, we did last year's. I can't remember what movie we did. Oh, boy.
Last year was like 20 years ago, so I don't
yes,
blame
it was.
But it was funny because we got into All the Horror very, very last minute because a different podcast dropped out and they needed someone to fill in their slot. So
yeah, we killed them.
At the time,
it's very fitting.
Just started Drinking and Screaming, so I was like, oh, this is a perfect way to like promote the show and do good helping for the charities. So it worked out. And then, of course, we're going to do it every year now because it's just such a great group of people.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So for listeners who aren't aware, All the Horror is a podcasting event and a bunch of horror-themed podcasts or horror-theme adjacent, like Jackie Watches Stuff, get together throughout the month of October and kind of collaborate on podcast episodes together and watch movies and recreate horror movies and mysteries and all these really cool things. So you can check them out. They're on Twitter at All the Horror 18, I guess, which I think was just like an oversight from the first one in 2018. That'd be my guess.
I think so too.
But there is a podcast feed. So listeners, if you're listening on Jackie Watches Stuff feed, you could head over and find All the Horror on, I think, every podcast player now.
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure. But then you'll be able to catch Drinking and Screaming on there too.
Woohoo!
Very exciting.
And spoilers, you're going to have Jackie Watches Stuff on our show also. Woohoo!
I am so excited. We won't spoil the movie, but I was just mentioning before we started recording that I am very scared. So I will be doing a lot of drinking and a lot of screaming when I watch this movie.
It
will be very, very fun. So yeah, so Shar, you mentioned that we are supporting a charity, which is very exciting. It's called Scares That Care, and it was founded in 2007 by a man named Joe Ripple, and it was started as a tribute to his friend's daughter who died from a terminal illness, which is very unfortunate. And this charity, though, has really made an amazing impact. They're setting this goal of raising $10,000 a year for organizations like Make-A-Wish and the Kennedy Krieger Institute. And we are selling merch for All the Horror to support Scares That Cares. Very exciting.
There's t-shirts with many different designs, something for everybody. Go check
them out. Yes. There was a lot of different designs. And I know, Kelly, Shar, you are also in like the group message as we saw these ideas come to life. So it's been a really cool process to watch these very creepy t-shirt designs.
Yeah. There's one that even has like this like dangling knife that's very reminiscent of the Friday the 13th poster.
I was thinking about that. Yes. It is very butcher knife Friday the 13th.
Like, I don't know if they did it on purpose or not, but either way, I'm impressed.
Well, I will put links to All the Horror, them on Twitter, the podcast feed, where you can donate to Scares That Cares, or if you want to buy some cool merch for Halloween season coming up. All of that will be available in the show notes. But I cannot talk about this movie until you both tell me about Drinking and Screaming. I listened to one episode and instantly said, I need to be friends with these people because they are so much fun. So please plug away how amazing your show is.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, so Kelly and I host Drinking and Screaming, which is a queer and feminist podcast about horror movies and cocktails. This is we're in the middle of our third season right now. We started last year. It's been a wild ride.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we like to be like really cutesy on that show because we're like partners in love and in podcasting, as we say.
Aww. That's darling. I love that.
I mean, it's basically like a reflection of our relationship because like the first date that we went on was watching horror movies together. So,
which movie?
I introduced Shar to Stranger Things. And then,
which I still have not seen.
Oh my god, you need
of course.
To watch it.
It's so good.
Not in like the gatekeepy way where it's like, oh my god, you have to watch it. It's So and then we would just stay up all night drinking and show each other scary movies that we liked and try to one up each other. So that's kind of what our podcast is about now.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. Yes. I cannot recommend this podcast enough. You can also get access to amazing recipes. I don't know if either of you are bartenders for real. Is that where that came from?
No, I like to pretend that I am, but
love it.
We live in Vancouver. We're all mixologists. All of us.
I was going to say sometimes I make really, really bad drinks, but it's fine.
That's all right. You know, you are much more skilled than I. I should also mention that y'all are our first international podcast guests.
Ooh.
Our friends to the north up in good old Canada, which is very exciting.
Woo.
So thank you for another very amazing milestone.
Of course. Yeah. But if you wanted to find more information about Drinking and Screaming, you can go to our website, drinkingandscreaming.com, or you can follow us on social media at @drink_scream.
Yes. And of course, we will link to all of those amazing things. And again, you just got to check them out. It's a lot of fun. Okay. Plugging time is over. Let's
movie
go
time.
To Camp Crystal Lake.
I don't think you should.
Welcome to Jackie Watches Stuff. This is a podcast chronicling my cinematic quest to finally watch the movies I probably should have already seen. And I'm bringing my friends along with me.
Doesn't seem
I don't
safe.
We should not, according to what's his name, Crazy Ralph or whatever they called him. Like, you know, the town crazy. I think every horror movie has a town crazy. Like, don't trust him.
But I've been promised a 30 seconds or less synopsis, and I'm ready.
Gosh. Really, I will be honest with you, like, the whole thing is like, and then everyone dies.
Yeah.
But I will try very, very hard. Will y'all time me?
Okay. I'm really doing it, everybody. I'm getting out my little timer app.
I mean, I'm recording, so I can see the timer going up.
No, it's way better when you pull up your, like, timer app.
All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so there's this camp. It's called Camp Crystal Lake, and in 1950-something, there was a boy that drowned, and then the year after, two kids were killed because they were having sex. Oh, no. And so every year since then, there was all this really crazy stuff that was happening there, and they try not to open it, but every time they open it, it doesn't work. And so this dude tries to open it, he hires a bunch of good-looking teens, and then one by one they all die? Question mark. It turns out it's the boy who drowns mom, who's also a little bit crazy, Mrs. Voorhees, and she ends up killing everybody except Alice because she's blonde.
The end.
Yeah.
28.5 seconds.
You could have fit much more in there.
I knew that if I was going to go into everybody's death, it would have been way longer than 30 seconds because there's some stuff to unpack there. So I just went with like the overview.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have added that the teens deserved it because they had sex.
They did. Did I mention that they were having sex?
Yeah. They had sex. So, you know.
I learned a lot after I watched this movie and doing the research on it. I was accidentally exposed to a lot of things about like the franchise, and I did not realize that this trope of boys and girls that have sex will die like really, really travels through.
Which is interesting because Victor Miller says, the writer of the show, that he didn't even like know about that or like was trying to emulate that trope when he wrote this film, which I think is hilarious.
That's so interesting. Maybe he just didn't realize he was doing the same thing over and over again. Like every time he thought he was like striking genius, like, oh, this is a great idea. Here's an interesting and new plot I've never thought of before.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we just saw this last year. So I actually, before we go to Camp Crystal Lake, I started digging around about why Friday the 13th is unlucky. Have you all done this? I feel like as horror movie experts, this is something that I feel like you've done.
I'm going to say we did, but we're going to let you explain it.
Yeah, we totally know. But for the listeners that don't, please explain.
Okay, so first of all, the fear of Friday the 13th, and I'm going to send you both this like in the chat to because I want to hear everyone try to say this word. There's a word that I swear is not real English that means the fear of Friday the 13th. It is paraskevit. Decatriophobia.
Oh no.
Your
Kelly,
turn.
Your turn.
Pereskevidecatriophobia.
That was great. I don't have the chat open because I'm on a different computer.
Wait, there's there's also another one called Triskaidekaphobia, which I'm pretty sure is from Friends.
Oh, here, I found it. Pereskevidecatriophobia. That's it.
That's okay. It. So we're all scientists, and that's the legal scientific name of the fear of Friday the 13th. And it turns out that literally nobody knows where this unluckiness came from. There was like 13s that floated around in like ancient myths and folklore, and then sometimes there was like Fridays in the Middle Ages, and then there was a whole Jesus thing that apparently because his Last Supper had 13 people there, like 13 is unlucky. Oh. But then I found out that in Italy, Friday the 17th is unlucky, and then in Hispanic and Greek culture, Tuesday the 13th is unlucky. So here we are.
Oh my.
Yeah, it's definitely a cultural thing because I know, right? Like in Japan, like 4 is unlucky because it's the same character as death.
Oh, see, but that's a really cool reason.
Yeah. Our language is
like a big shrug. Yeah. It's like, who knows? Who knows? So I don't know. I really thought I would find something more concrete than this. Like, oh, it happened because of this weird myth and someone actually died on Friday the 13th. But nope, we just like to say it's unlucky. Mm-hmm. So that's my fun fact.
I mean, Jason died on Friday the 13th.
And that's why it's bad.
He did. And then I did find out that when we cut to the future of June 13th, 1979, that's a Wednesday.
Oh boy.
It's like,
my
wait,
fellow
what?
Movie makers, why did like, you do this?
What? And then it's, I did realize that July 13th, 1980, so just 1 year later, which is the year this movie came out, it is a Friday. So why wouldn't we just do 19? I don't understand. I don't understand.
They weren't trying. They didn't think we would look things up.
They were on a budget.
No. It's like, what? I just don't know how this movie made so much money if it was called Friday the 13th. And everyone was like, wait, but the 13th wasn't a Friday.
Because it was riding the coattails of Halloween. Let's be honest.
That is very true. Very, very true. Oh, my God. There were so many other horror movies that were like big box. Like they made a bunch of money at the box office right around this time, too. So clearly people wanted a fright this time of year.
Heck yeah, for sure.
So when we finally get to Camp Crystal Lake, which I have to tell listeners is a real place in New Jersey that is used as a Boy Scout camp.
It's called Nobi Bosco.
That's a super fun name for a camp. And I found their website, and tickets are now available for several tour sessions in September 2020. So, you know, if you want to take a tour of the Crystal Lake camp where they actually filmed this movie, you apparently can. I don't know how COVID has affected this, but
yeah, please wash your hands or don't go there.
Or wear a hockey mask.
Wear lots of – ooh, how fitting. How fitting.
Which is ironic because there's not even that in this film.
Yeah, there's no – this didn't introduce the hockey mask at all.
No, and that's so funny because I remember when I – before I watched the movie, I'm like, this is Jason, the hockey mask guy, right? And you both were like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Had no clue. I had no clue that I wasn't going to see a hockey mask in this movie.
Which?
Had no idea.
Is exactly – I was going to say, I think I mentioned it in our little preview of like, I have a really good story about being spoiled for this.
And oh, no. What was your spoiler?
It was exactly that. I was going in so blind. I was like, oh, yeah, this is a movie with the hockey mask guy. Cool. And then I'm telling my friend right before we sit down to watch it that we're – oh, I'm going to watch Friday the 13th. And Justin says, oh, the one where the mom is the killer?
No! Did you immediately take out your own butcher knife and kill said person?
Yes, of course. Justin no longer exists in this world.
Oh, man. Man, pour one out for Justin. That's why you don't spoil movies. Goodness, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I really thought I was like, you know, every time we had the perspective of the killer or we saw like her shoes like walking around, I thought I was going to see a hockey mask and I didn't see one.
I mean, it also works towards your favor of that story being the case because it is a man that's playing the killer for the entire film. Until Pamela's face is revealed, and then it's just Pamela, which is very funny, I find.
Very, I mean, it was a twist I didn't see coming, I'll be honest. I'll be absolutely
very
honest.
Very womanly, hairy hands.
Yeah.
Yes. So what was so interesting, we see like, first we see the classic horror movie shot of like the cabin, and then we watch back in time when the two kids go to have sex and then they die because if you have sex, you die. Whoa. But then we cut over to this darling little girl, Annie, who's just like, walk into Camp Crystal Lake. Was her whole plan just to walk, just wander the whole time?
People back then were so much more trusting when it comes to hitchhiking. Like hitchhiking is like not a weird thing in the 80s/90s. So I think that her plan was just, yeah, I'm going to meet a very friendly neighborhood traveler and hitch a ride.
It'll be so great. I don't know where I'm going, but it'll be fine. And it turns out it wasn't fine, Annie, because you got killed.
Because you got.
And it was before she even did anything. Like she didn't.
I know.
She didn't have sex or do the drug or anything. It was just.
She did nothing. She was just like, yeah, I'm going to be a cook. So sad. So sad.
That was the trigger because Pamela was the cook. At that.
Whoa.
That is true. That is a good point. I didn't think about that because she does say that she was the cook when her son died at the camp.
And so her goose does get cooked. Is that a saying?
Yeah.
It is. It is a saying. I like
job,
that.
Kelly.
It's also like her death is the first introduction to just the extremely gory prosthetics of this movie where her like throat gets slit. And
it is terrifying.
It's a lot to look at.
That yes, Tom Savini is. Magic.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, we will get there, but there was a lot of prosthetic action happening in this movie that didn't love. Because Drinking and Screaming is a queer and feminist podcast, I need to call out this anti-feminist moment of when the trucker says, oh, are all the girls going to look as good as you at the camp? And then when he helps her up into the truck seat, he like just kind of pushes her whole butt.
But
so there's no other way to get in this truck.
Just like cupping her ass. Am I allowed to swear?
Oh, you absolutely can.
Okay. We have an explicit tag. What the heck?
Oh, yeah.
Boy. Am I allowed to swear? Heck.
I said ass before.
The H-E double hockey sticks?
yeah.
Yeah, it was super great. Love that. Super love that. Love that moment. Yeah, super great.
It's also like, I know the actress is probably 18, but these are definitely not 18-year-olds going to this camp.
Oh, gosh, no. Gosh, no. They are absolutely not. So, yeah, I love that. So Annie's warned about how she shouldn't go there because it's called Camp Blood. And the trucker drives her there anyway. No big deal. Even though there's all these freak accidents that have been happening. He's like, I'll drive you anyway. It's like, thanks, man.
Really, I mean, they have that one guy in their town who's clearly unwell and needs help, who's telling everyone not to go to Camp Blood, which honestly is good advice, so I don't know why everyone's dunking on him.
Yeah, which is so interesting because he, I would assume, has all the same information as everyone else in that town, because the trucker even says, like, yeah, there was that drowning, then the kids got killed, and then there were fires, but we don't trust Ralph, the guy that's like, don't go there, you might die.
I mean,
like, reasonable.
I mean, fake news, y'all.
Oh, boy.
Allegedly, Camp Blood's had all these deaths, and I don't know.
Who knows, though? Who knows?
It's been said.
I
run a great ship at Camp Crystal Lake. God. It's the best camp in the whole world.
Everyone's saying there's been no deaths. I no longer don't believe the narrative that people are dumb and would still go to a place where a bunch of people were murdered. Maybe back in the day when we assumed people were smarter, but if 20 dead bodies showed up at Camp Crystal Lake and then the next year a bunch of people went there to have a fun summer camp, that would not seem unrealistic to me now.
Yeah, the world is a dark place.
Yeah,
it is.
It's much darker than when I watched Friday the 13th 2 years ago.
Absolutely. I want to transition from that weird sexist moment to another sexist moment where we get introduced to Steve, the guy that runs the camp now, and Alice, who is maybe sleeping with him. I can't tell.
Vomits.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's real weird. And then she's kind of like, no, I want to leave. And he's like, no, why don't you not leave? It's like, that feels great.
He's
I love
so
that.
Old.
Mm-hmm. And then he goes, oh, you draw. And he's like, wow, you're good at drawing and you're pretty. It's like, oh, my God.
Like, women can have skills.
What? And be pretty? What? I don't understand.
That seems like too much character development for the 80s.
Oh, God. It was also a weird side plot that didn't even come back around.
Yeah,
like the idea that they were romantic, like nothing, there was nothing involved there at all.
Because she can't have sex because otherwise she wouldn't be the final girl.
Yeah.
That is true. That is
very
true.
She can't have any vices.
Abstinence saves. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Then Annie dies, so sad, because she gets in the Jeep, which I thought was Steve's Jeep because Steve bailed, and I don't know if that was supposed to be the whole reason. But you just watch Annie die from the perspective of the killer, which, as you mentioned, Char, there was no person cast as the killer yet, and so they were like, well, guess the camera's the killer again, so you can't see anything. Which helped with the tension, because I really wasn't expecting to see this poor little sweet Annie die so quickly before she even got to the camp.
Yeah, so soon.
So sad. She talks about how working with kids is her dream and she's so excited to be at this camp. And I'm like, this was the end goal for you? Like,
have some ambition.
as we have learned from Steve, like, you can be pretty and have skills. You're a woman.
I mean, it's the 80s. Her skill is cooking. That's what they wrote for her.
That's what they want. Yeah,
she's the chef.
Oh my goodness. It's so sad. So sad. But yes, she is in this. This is why you don't hitchhike. And maybe this is why my family always told me, like, don't go hitchhiking. Don't get in cars with strangers, because they probably watched this movie. And the Jeep misses the turn to Camp Crystal Lake and it goes faster and faster. And she decides to jump out, which is super bold. I don't know if I would ever jump out of a very fast moving vehicle.
I think you would if you connected the dots that you were going to die.
That's also true. But we think she's going to get away. She's in the woods. It doesn't happen. So that's our first death. Miss Annie. So sad.
I also find it interesting. Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, I find it interesting just now thinking about the fact that, like, Pamela got word that this camp was opening again. And, like, just the human aspect of, I'm going to hop in my Jeep and drive to this camp now. Like, most killers and, like, slashers are, like, ethereal beings or, like, just a monster that crawls out of the woods. But it's just, like, this woman's reading the newspaper. It says Camp Crystal Lake's open up, and she grabs her knife. She's like, well, gotta go kill.
Well, that time of year, right on schedule. Yeah, it is a little – I would love to see, like, the prequel to this movie of, like, the Mrs. Voorhees story of, like, her, like you said, sitting on the couch, reading the newspaper, maybe knitting, and then – trading in those needles for knives.
Mm-hmm. Like, just her giant man hands knitting.
Some very cool audio clips in the Friday the 13th video game that you can play on PlayStation. they have, like, little tapes that you can collect as a player. And if you in the menu, you can play them. And they have a whole police interview with Pamela and the police that tried to save Jason that night, which is very, very cool.
I'm sure that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you think – was that coming out of, like, deleted scenes that they just had audio from and they said, well, let's just shove it in our PlayStation game?
I think that they hired a voice actress to create this extra lore. So it's not actually Betsy Palmer, the actress who played Pamela. But it's still very, very cool.
That is really cool. What a thoughtful and interesting, like, layer to the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because really this whole movie is just – fake blood.
Yeah.
Fake blood and tense music. That's
what
it.
The people want. That's how that's you make $35 million or whatever it is.
Which is, like, absolutely wild. The budget for this movie was so small. It was, like, what, $500,000 or something? It was super small. And they made a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so crazy. And then they made 1,000 other Jason movies.
Yeah.
Because they all make a lot of money.
Yep. So we also get, like, cuts back to, like, what I picture as a 1980s, like, Sprite commercial, where it's, like, attractive teens, like, running around, jumping in the water, like, giggling and laughing. Like, that's the vibe that this whole scene gives off. But then Ned starts to drown in the water. Oh, no. Ned is so lovable. We can't lose Ned.
He's the dorky one who keeps doing pranks and stuff. I'm sure that he's drowning for real.
He's so cute. Yeah. Brenda has this beautiful dive into the water, and Kevin Bacon does not. Like, he belly, flops so hard. It's so, so, so funny. But of course, Ned's just joking. Ha ha ha. Because he likes Brenda and wants to make out with her. And that's the goal of being apparently at Camp Crystal Lake, is just to have sex, as we've learned.
And that's even mention how assaulty that is, that you're going to fake being unconscious so that a woman will put her mouth to yours.
Yep. Love that. Yeah. Love that. Again, it was 1980. It was a different time.
there's an element to, once all of the adults, all the creepy adults leave the scene, there is an element of, like, familiarity of just, like, a bunch of horny teens showing off for each other so that they get some kisses in.
Absolutely. I mean, I never went to summer camp, and I can't, like, share my summer camp experiences, but based on all the experiences that I've either A, seen in movies, or B, heard from my friends, like, this tracks for an accurate depiction of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure if I had any sort of social skills or something when I was younger, I would have experienced flirting, but this definitely looks like what flirting sounded like when my friends would tell me about it.
I recognize this action as flirting.
Yeah.
I went to an all-girls summer camp, so I myself am not a fan of the ladies, so I never – it was just fun times, man. Just fun times.
You know, It is fun times.
There's probably still some flirting going on, though.
I bet there was.
But, like, confused flirting as well.
I was very sheltered at the time, so I don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Ned is saved. Hurrah. Not all is lost. This snake in Annie's room scene, I read a very sad fact that I hope is wrong, but I read it on IMDb.
It's
that
so
that
right.
Snake was real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they really killed it.
It gets so much worse.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What's worse?
You tell the story, Kelly.
So for that scene, they actually just had a crew member who owned a snake, and they wanted to have it in the scene. So the crew member, like, brought it in. They did the scene, and he had no idea what was going to happen. So
oh
he basically
God.
Had to watch as Kevin Bacon kills his pet snake.
Oh, my God.
And he was devastated. And hearing that story, it... like sours this movie a bit because it's this is after all the standards of movie where it's like we're not allowed to kill animals on screen and stuff like mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. but they killed this dude's snake and it's very, very sad.
That is really sad. I mean, I remember watching it and thinking, wow, that looks really good, and then I saw the fact and it's like, oh, I now understand why it looks really good, because it is a real snake and that is so mean.
Yeah. Yep,
it's awful.
Wow.
I can't deal with animal death, man.
No.
I'm not for it at all.
Yeah. Hard every time we watch a new movie, we literally go to doesthedogdie.com and search up all
the triggers. That is a really helpful resource. That is a very, very helpful resource. Oh, mm-hmm. my gosh. So, yeah, that poor snake and that poor person who owned the snake, I feel very, very sad. That is upsetting. But in happier, funnier moments, this confused policeman shows up, which felt like a weird throwaway, but it happened. And he asked if they've been smoking the weed, which
the weed.
I like identify with that because I feel like I'm always like, hello, youths. Like, how's it going?
Hello, fellow youths.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Hello, fellow youths.
For Kelly and I, because we both are not ones that partake in the drugs, except for hard liquor all the time.
Oh, yeah, all that drinking and screaming.
But anytime that drugs come up, we're like, yeah, I know what that is. Yeah, I'm very aware.
Right. It's like, that's why I identify with this policeman. Like, he's like the weed. It's like, no, smoking's bad for your lungs. Like, uh-huh, sure. But he's looking for Ralph, the MVP of this movie. And they're like, no, we don't know what you're talking about. Oh, and I should mention, speaking of things that feel bad, Ned is dressed up as like a Native American.
Yeah.
Wearing his like shirt as pants. It's a whole thing. I don't know where he got the headdress from. I'm going to assume it was just there. But, you know,
we all make mistakes. Yeah, it's very summer camp vibes of that time.
For sure.
Yep. And he's just trying to get Brenda's attention because he likes her so much. And she's like, hey, you're being kind of silly. And he's like, yeah, I'm not. It's like, well, okay. Whatever you say. But Ralph is in the pantry, which I thought was so funny. A twist I did not see coming.
He's trying to save these kids.
Yeah.
He's
they
like,
need
you're,
to know.
You're doomed.
They're smoking the weeds and they're having the sex.
You can't do any of those things. But he's so right. He's like, you're doomed. And they're like, whatever, crazy Ralph, see ya.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, they don't decide to call the policeman who was just there, like, looking for this dude, but it's fine.
I mean, have you ever seen Cabin in the Woods?
No.
Okay.
Don't spoil it. That's such a good movie to watch.
The one where the mom's the murderer?
Oh, no. Okay, well, if you don't even know the concept of Cabin in the Woods, then I won't say anything. But
I do not.
But yeah, the like refusal of the call trope is a huge thing in horror movie where it's like you're given the opportunity to back down in the beginning. And if you don't take it, you basically deserve to die. Mm-hmm. So Ralph represents like multiple refusals of the call where it's like, no, if he didn't sound like the stereotypical crazy person of the town, like they would probably listen to him. Like if that cop showed up and be like, no, legit, like people keep getting murdered here. You guys should probably go home. They might
they would
listen
be like,
to
oh, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, they don't.
No.
But again, then we wouldn't have not only Friday the 13th, the movie, but an multi-million-dollar franchise. So
we would never end up with Jason in space. And honestly, I don't want to live in that world.
Wait, I'm sorry. Is Jason in space a real thing?
Do you not know what the themes of the other movies are?
I will admit that I did not do a deep dive on how far this franchise went, and now I'm very sad I did not.
So far.
Okay, well,
what?
Your end mark is Jason in space.
Oh my God.
Except then they reboot it in 2009 when it kind of just goes back to like classic Jason, but it gets wild.
It's oh my so goodness.
Fun. So fun.
Wow. Well, I'm going to have to dive right in, I guess, because and not watch any other movies. Sorry, listeners. I'm exclusively doing Jason movies for the next year and a half. You can listen to better stuff on Drinking and Screaming about other movies that aren't Jason movies.
Still so horror, though.
Man. All right. Well, now I'm locked and loaded for that. That's very exciting. We have a sex scene kind of thing happening with Kevin Bacon and Marcy, whose real name I can't remember. We watch Ned walk into a abandoned cabin because that's a good idea. Right after the town crazy says, "You're doomed, don't stay here, you're gonna get murdered." He's like, "Weird, a weird figure. I should follow it." Like, again, you deserve to die.
Nailed it.
And then I need to talk about the idea that Brenda thinks is the most appealing idea. Let's play strip Monopoly.
Yeah.
Which, sure, like when you add stripping to any game, it makes it a little more fun. But Monopoly is like the longest game known to man. Why would you pick this game of all the games?
Because then everyone will be naked.
But it takes forever.
I mean, it also adds a weird twist to stripping in front of your friends where you add like a capitalist element to it. It's like, I've bought your clothes now.
I love when she's like, yeah, I rolled double sixes, I get to go again. But if you look at the actual dice that she rolled, it's like a one and a two.
Love that.
So she's having sex and cheating. So.
And cheating. Oh, she should have gone right there. Mrs. Voorhees should have just come out of the kitchen and been like, all right, listen, like eating a sandwich. Like, come on.
I believe she's also smoking the weed at this point, too.
She is definitely smoking the weed. Yes, there is a moment where I think we hear Brenda say, can you see if Marcy left any grass? And it like was a very like 60s, 70s, 80s like slang.
Yeah.
Oh, how times have changed. How times have changed.
That Mary Jane. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around how fun Strip Monopoly would be. Like, I would lose interest after, like, a half hour.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, great, you got your one shoe off after going around the board six times.
I've like, never played any sort of, like, strip games. I've never even done, like, spin the bottle. That sort
of
thing just
freaks
me out. I have
not either, now that I think about it.
Once again, I will go back to I didn't flirt or do anything when I was a kid.
Yeah, clearly, so. Clearly the three of us are best equipped to talk about things like this.
By the time I was like in my first relationship, it's like, hey, do you want to have sex because I live in my own house now? Okay, cool.
Great.
I mean, I can't even remember the last time I played regular Monopoly, let alone anything fun.
It's a bad game.
Ugh, it just would take so long. And then I thought about, like, how much B-roll they possibly shot. Like, they probably shot a lot of them just playing Monopoly, because this gets intercut with the sex scene between Marcy and Jack.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, it's like, did they just sit there for, like, 20 minutes and pretend to play Monopoly?
Maybe.
So boring.
Yeah.
Oh, so boring. Woo! Oh, my God.
It does remind me of the strip Happy Days game from
Friends.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Where it's like nobody
prepared.
It's
like prepared. When you're just so desperate. Like, you're so desperate for something fun,
which,
I guess.
I understand the, like, ooh, risque. Like, we can't just outwardly say what we want to do to each other. But it's like, it's just, if you can't find something, just go have sex. Like, Jack and what's-her-face
yeah.
did.
Yeah, they go. It starts, like, dumping rain, because, of course, every horror movie has rain. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, oh, hey, an abandoned cabin. We should have sex in here. Like, sounds
it's a healthy
to
relationship. They communicated very well what their desires and needs were.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the example, kids, that you should look to. This is an ideal relationship.
Yeah.
Marcy and Kevin Bacon.
Don't preface your needs and wants with drowning and Monopoly.
Yeah, please don't. But yeah, so Jack gets stabbed from under the bunk bed, which this shooting the scene apparently took a lot of effort. To get the, because he gets stabbed from through the underside of the bunk bed, which is a lot of body to get through if you really think about the logistics of it. But they had to, and I'm sure you both know about this because you've seen this movie before. The way they had to shoot the scene was like bananas, and they only had one shot, really.
Mm-hmm. There's a huge like 8-hour long documentary on Shudder about Friday the 13th that Shara and I watched over the course of like 3 weeks. And it really delves deep into like all the kills and stuff like that. And it's really interesting.
And I would say that the Kevin Bacon's kill is like the most memorable of the first movie. Mm-hmm. When you think of like Friday the 13th part one, it's gotta be the Kevin Bacon arrow through the throat.
Yeah. Cause it just, well, first of all, it's stunning to watch on TV cause you don't expect it, but it's quick. Like you see the arm come up from underneath the bunk bed and then the sword or whatever it is, this like pokey thing, go mm-hmm. through at the same time. It is crazy town. So they needed a lot of like prosthetics and latex, and Kevin Bacon had to like put his head in a hole to make it look like he was still laying down, but he really wasn't. And there was like a blood pumping thing that didn't work. So somebody had to blow into the tube, and it was, it was just a lot. It's a lot.
Yep.
Ugh, so gross.
My only downside of that is that the skin tone of the fake neck is so off that yes. watching it on a good TV from modern times really shows it.
Yeah, it looked like almost like a big just rectangle over his neck.
Yeah.
That like yeah. they just kind of laid like a piece of plastic on. They definitely did that. But I mean, at the time when I wasn't expecting it, I definitely didn't notice it. And
nice.
All of a sudden
good.
A knife was coming through it, and I'm like, whoa, what's happening? Yeah, I think they were just banking on poor television quality at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like getting so scared in the theater that you like curl up in your partner's arms.
That is very true. I did do a lot of like wincing and screaming and like curling into a ball. So
it's good. That's what they intended.
Super fun. Well, they did very well. I read that all the prosthetics that they made and like the latex stuff, they bake them in the actual pizza ovens at that camp, which thinking about the fact that it's still a camp is disgusting.
Yeah.
It's a pizza smelling prosthetic.
Ew. Or a prosthetic tasting pizza. I don't know which one is worse.
Yeah, definitely that is worse.
Ugh, so gross.
It's a real Kramer moment. Just throwing the thing that you're making into a pizza oven.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. I mean, you know what? Use what you got. If you're renting out the whole campsite, it was probably a lot of money, all things considered. And their budget was very small. So it's like, well, we have these ovens here. They didn't say we couldn't use them to bake prosthetics.
Yeah.
Ugh, so gross. So yes, Kevin Bacon dies while Marcy's in the bathroom. And then we have this very tense scene because the thing, murderer thing, is obviously like following her. We get a lot of weird perspective shots through the like shower curtain and stuff. And she thinks it's Ned, who is dead, by the way, in the bunk bed above them, which is terrifying.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
Don't love. Don't love. I really thought Ned was going to make it farther, but maybe he got killed for all his weird like racism things. Who knows?
Poor Ned.
Ugh, poor Ned. But it's very stressful. And really all my notes for this movie are in caps lock. And so I'm actually having a hard time reading all of them because literally everything is just like, oh my God. And then he dies. There's an axe in the shadows and she dies, which prosthetic work, talk about prosthetics. There's like a whole axe coming out of her face.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Super cool. Unfortunately for that actress, they like accidentally got some of the glue into her eye under that axe.
Oh,
so
no.
She's in like actual pain as she's dying.
Oh my gosh. Maybe that's why she looked like really good when she was doing it. I mean, her fake scream pre-axing was not stellar. It struck me more because, of course, I'm a critic now. It struck me more as a like, oh my gosh, no, like, why is my friend dead? Like kind of a scream. It wasn't like a, oh my God, I'm so terrified that someone's wailing an axe at me kind of vibe. So,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, the acting quality of this entire film is a bit questionable.
Yeah.
Yes. Which I will discuss at length when we get to the fight scene between Alice and Mrs. Voorhees.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Woo! There was some stuff that went down. So mid-Monopoly, Brenda's like, oh, it's still raining? Oh, I left my cabin windows open. I should leave right now. It's like, well, you've already...
Which, like, no horny teenager has ever said that. Oh,
literally,
man.
And she's already in her bra and underwear. So, like, come on. I don't understand.
Unless, again, like we said, Monopoly is super boring and she just wanted to know.
Right? It's like, oh, we've been playing for 4 hours and Bill still has all his clothes on. Weird. Like,
yeah. I don't know. My window is open. I got to go deal with
that.
I got to
go.
Now.
so sad. So, I mean, I thought she was going to die right there, but she doesn't. We get a little cutback to Steve at the diner, which was kind of a weird cutback because, again, I thought he was the murderer, but maybe it's to clear his name a little bit. It's like, oh, or, oh, hey, this dude's just getting a quick coffee after he killed Alice, because we still don't know that Jeep looks like the other Jeep.
Yeah.
So
I guess there's also like an element of like, we need to really show to you that these kids are isolated from any responsible adult.
That's true.
Everyone's...
Not that I think Steve would have done anything. Let's be real.
He would have complimented the killer on their skill.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're a woman and you can stab people?
And you can cut people with an axe? I'm so impressed.
But again, once you actually see the woman doing the killing, it's awful looking.
It is so bad. Oh, my gosh.
But she was so skilled and we didn't get to see her doing it for the other kills.
No, we saw the result of the skillful kills. Wow, see that 8 times fast. But we did like the fight scene, the attempts to kill Alice, they're all real rough. And I feel like that should have been part of the audition, was like, could you please pretend to kill this person? Show us what you would do instead of like bad
also
slapping.
Getting like a house, I was going to say a house fighter, a fight choreographer would have really helped.
Goodness. But yeah, so right before Brenda dies, we get a lot of like creepy, like the tension is just building, which I thought was really well done because she's back at the sink that Marcy just died at, basically. But the body's gone, which, what? There's no blood. I'm confused. Like, I mean, Mrs. Voorhees was a cook. She's probably very skilled to like know how to like get her way around like blood and bleach and stuff. So maybe she can clean up real fast.
Very
maybe she brought her knife
person.
And rubber gloves. I don't know.
Well, like she spends so much time setting up just like jump scares for whoever's left that it's like she must just be spending a lot of time scrubbing to make sure that the spook isn't given away too early.
That's true. That is very true. And honestly, now that we think about it, she's been doing this since what, like 1958 or something. So she has a lot of experience, like destroying people and the whole camp. So maybe she's like, oh, just enough, like, oh, you're gonna go in the bathroom again? Like, I've killed somebody in this bathroom like 700 times.
Just clocking in. It's a living.
Yeah, she gets nothing back, nothing in return.
Yeah.
So yeah, she decides to go out in the rain after hearing someone screaming, help me, which I assume is Mrs. Voorhees trying to set her up and get her out of the cabin.
That's a good assumption.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like I was so. Like very confused by that. Dumping rain. These poor actors. Like poor Brenda. She decides, I know, I'll go out and follow the creepy voice that I don't recognize with only my flashlight and this very flimsy nightgown. It will be great. Nothing will go wrong.
For sure. I mean, at least she's brave.
I mean, I would have stayed in my cabin and been like, I can't hear you. I don't know. What? Sorry. It's raining. I can't. Ugh, so bad. Brings her to the archery range. Oh my god, yeah. Well, good thing she closed them. And again, her whole cabin is super dry, so clearly you had them closed because it's been dumping rain for a long time.
Again, it was just an out. Yeah.
Whatever. Ridiculous. She dies in the archery range. We actually don't see her die right away. We hear her die. We hear a scream. Mm-hmm. But then we see her later. Crashing through the window of the kitchen
is a very cool parallel because she is at the beginning is the one that almost gets shot by Ned.
Yes, which I thought was so iconic, and that's why she was like, okay, you know, joke's over, because she's back at the archery range and thinks that it's Ned. So that was a good piece of like literary work, like, oh, we're calling back some plot points. I like this.
That's like one of my favorite things about slasher movies is just like the half the movie is establishing what the kills are going to be, and then this just the satisfaction of like, oh my god, they did it! Just like how they told me they were going to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, this one, not to say the kids deserved it, but they were warned by Ralph, and all their friends are spontaneously missing, like one by one. Like, this feels horror movie. Like, y'all should know this by now.
This is a universe where Friday the 13th hadn't come out yet, so
that's true.
They didn't know the tropes.
They didn't have source material. That's fair. That is very fair. Alice and Bill hear Alice scream, or hear Brenda scream, and they're like, we should go save her. And so they go to try to find her, but no one's there, and no one's in the cabin except an axe in Brenda's bed. which is freaking terrifying. Bum, bum, so bum. Terrifying. Don't love it. Don't love it.
I'm then there's this whole pun, crazy montage.
Oh, an axe metaphor?
Yeah, I'm really struggling now, but it's okay. Move along. Ugh. It's fine. Don't worry about
sorry.
It.
Yeah, sorry. When you get it, just like say it, and then we'll just go back. We'll like just slide it in. We'll cut it in, you know. And just like boop, boop. Then this is like the panic sequence montage of like, we got to figure this out right now. Allison, Bill to the rescue. So they like run over to the office to try to call someone. Phones are dead. Go to the car. Car's dead. Like, yep, you're in a horror movie now. Nothing's working. Like, and then Bill is super optimistic the whole time. It's very adorable. He's like, everything's going to be great. It's like, okay, whatever you say, Bill. I support you. It is very, very sad. We see Steve come back. This I did not expect. His death.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, it's interesting
but we get a
because
small clue.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to mention this.
Yeah, go.
Oh, that like he recognizes the killer, which is extremely interesting because
yeah.
Like it lowers his guard and he's like, "Oh, what are you doing here?" And then he gets got and you're like, "Oh my god, the killer isn't just some random person. It's someone from inside the camp."
Right. And so
the
then
call
my
is from
wheels
inside
were turning.
The house.
Absolutely. Because then, of course, I'm expecting Hockey Mask Jason. And I'm like, wait. Like, Steve's going to be like, oh, hey, it's you with the hockey mask. That's normal. What are you doing here? Like,
the 7-foot mute. I remember you from before.
you're back. Hello. So he also gets killed. We find him in a tree later. Very, very scary.
I guess at that point, you kind of might think that it's Ralph because he's the only other possible figure that would be associated with the people of this camp.
Right. And we haven't really met anybody else. You know, we kind of met the trucker, but that would be weird. You know, town crazy Ralph is the only viable option because he's a little bit weird and a little bit scary and was hiding in the pantry. No big deal.
I mean, it was probably the cop. It was probably just the cop. The cop did it.
I could see that being the twist. It's like, the cop that smokes the weed? It was you the whole time?
But in 1980, we trust the cops. I don't understand.
No, it hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. Oh, no. What have I done? So Steve dies. We find him in a tree later. Bill decides to go check the generator and leaves Alice asleep on the couch, which never separate. Bill's death. Let's talk about this. It is terrifying, first of all.
I'm glad that you were so scared of this movie.
Oh my gosh, it was I don't like jump scares, like not my jam. So this was everything. Jump scary and seeing Bill dead behind the door, like again, though, I will say, watching Mrs. Voorhees try to kill Alice and then comparing it to this clearly very skilled kill of Bill. Wow, I just said those words all together. Like, it's like, was this the same murderer, though? Like, I'm confused.
It's really odd. Like, I like the reveal of Pamela being the killer at the end, but it just, they gotta do something to make her more scary than just like wobbling about as she's chasing Alice, because we've had all this buildup of all these very, very detailed, very skilled, even if they weren't killed in that way, like she positions them like she has to be strong. But then when you actually see her fighting, it's just not.
It's that thing where the grandmother lifts the car off her grandson. When he's it's like when she gets into that like fugue state of thinking about Jason, she can do anything. But talking to Alice, like, calmed her down a little bit, so now she's just back to regular Pamela strength.
Is
my bullshit way of explaining that.
I could believe that. I don't think there was any justification. I think you thought more about this, Kelly, than the writers did.
I'm some sort of critic, by the way.
Yeah, we should put a disclaimer that none of us are actual movie critics, but we will pretend that we are. But yeah, it's just a weird, like you said, Char, it's like I'm not scared anymore because I know it's Mrs. Voorhees and I watch her like not be able to walk sometimes and it's like, oh, well, there goes that. I did read an interesting, you had mentioned that the glue got from the axe got into the actress's eye who played Marcy. The blood that they used for Bill was not like, quote, safe blood. And there was a latex thing like over his eye to show to where the arrow would go. No, he was not actually poked in the eye. Mm-hmm. But I guess the blood that was on that latex thing was not, quote, safe blood that you should use, like, near your bodily, like, holes. And it got into his eye and temporarily blinded him. No big deal.
It's fine, you know.
So bad. So bad. So Bill almost real life died, I guess.
Woo. Yeah, there's some... Like, later Friday the 13th also have just really weird treatment of actors. There's a really notorious one. I can't remember which one it is, if it's like 3 or 4 or something.
Where the woman is in the boat in the water?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. And but like, this is a big tangent. I don't know if we're allowed to do this.
Obviously.
But I'll pull it back. But it's just, this is setting a tradition for actors being treated real weird on set.
Yeah, this woman had, she was like, in a lake, and it was fall because they had to shoot in the off season of a summer camp or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's this like yellow dinghy that she's holding on to, and she gets, this is where she dies from Jason. But shooting that scene took hours and hours, and they were like, we're just gonna fire you if you don't do it, basically, to this woman. And she got like hypothermia. She was like very, very ill, and it was awful.
Oh man, that also reminded me of a worse one, but we don't, if you don't want to stay in this zone for too long.
Oh my God. I was going to say, like, I will come up with a funny thing to get us out of this, but I'm kind of curious. I didn't realize this was, as you said, tradition in the Jason franchise.
So I think this movie was particularly bad because all the actors talked about the director being really shitty. And again, I can't remember which one it is because they all kind of blend into each other. But there was one director who, like, during the sex scenes would like scream at the actors and be like, fuck her harder, yeah, ooh, get those tits out. And it was like so uncomfortable. It was like before movies had, what's
intimacy,
it called?
Intimacy coordinators.
Yeah, like somebody specifically hired to make sure that the actors are like comfortable in those scenes. And boy, oh boy, did everybody hate that director on set.
Yeah, I hate the director not even on the set. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Wow. Goodness. Well, I'm glad that at least we're making some strides in other movies. I'm hoping at least in this franchise as well. But that's really sad. Very frustrating. I can get us out of this with a funny thing I noticed.
Nice.
Tell us.
About the next scene. So after Alice finds Bill, she rightfully freaks out and runs back to the cabin and decides to barricade the door. Smart. She barricades the door by both taking a rope and tying it to the handlebar and over the ceiling, which is great if you are trying to open the door. But then she also, like, if you're on the outside and you have to pull the door, that will work. But then she also decides to throw a bunch of stuff in front of the door, which I couldn't remember. I meant to rewind and check, but I couldn't remember if this was a door that if you are entering, you had to pull it open or push it open. But she, like, kind of covered both her bases.
Yeah.
It's like okay.
But then she also forgot that at some point in human history, we invented windows.
Yes. And she's like, I know. I will draw these very, very light pieces of cotton, and it will be fine.
Well, yeah. Nothing can possibly get through these windows. It's basically as solid as this door.
It will be amazing. Everything is amazing. She goes to find stuff in the kitchen, which... Sorry, I wanted to bring this up. Before she went to go find Bill, she decides to make instant coffee. Like, this is your time. And so, like, there was a continuity moment of, like, wait, is the kettle still on? Like, I was very preoccupied with the status of this kettle. Because, like, if she left it on, I don't know, whatever. So she goes back into the kitchen, and just as she's going to get stuff that's, like, sharp and pointy in case she has to defend herself, smart, Brenda just, like, falls, her dead body just gets thrown into the window, and she is bruised and tied up and I don't even know what, but she is very dead.
Yeah, very sad. That's yeah, sad.
And that's a good intimidation move, honestly. You got to give it to Pamela, like, she's just using all the
dead
resources.
Bodies in there,
right?
Yeah.
And again, like, I'm picturing her trying to, like, lift up this dead body that probably weighs, what, 120 pounds, 110 pounds, and, like, launching it over her head. And it's just a very funny mental image to me.
Yeah, we need the version of Friday the 13th that's, like, kind of like Scary Movie, but not really bad and dated, of just Pamela, like, trying to lift all this stuff. But then it, like, it cuts to her being really successful and chucking It's like there's this huge disconnect of her not being able to lift the body, but then it like expertly flies through the window.
I mean, talking about remakes, like I would want to see a good remake of the scary movies that make fun of all these films, that gets rid of all the awkward, terrible, dated jokes and actually just puts the plot hooks on blast, I think would be great.
I unfortunately think we live in a time when that's just like YouTube skits.
Yeah, maybe this content that I crave is already existing. And yeah, I need
it
to
probably
find it.
Does. There's a TikToker out there that's probably already doing that.
Hell yeah. And honestly, that's fine because watching Scary Movie gets exhausting after a while. I'm cool with just like a 10-second clip of like, what if?
Yep. Yeah, like I just want maybe this scene like on TikTok kind of thing. It's like, oh, I can just digest this in 10-second intervals and it's going to be fine. Everything's
I mean, I can
great.
Picture it now. The TikTok is just Pamela struggling with the body and then it cuts to the clip from the movie of the body flying through the window.
Oh, I'm picturing it. It's so good. I'm just picturing her like pulling like the dead arm, just like, ugh, like trying so hard and then it just flopping. Like
falls
to
on top of her for a sec.
As she's getting like dumped rain on, right? Because it's been pouring this whole time. So like she's just like in her really thick sweater. I didn't talk about this. She is wearing this super winter sweater turtleneck thing, but seemingly it is the summer because all of our young boys and girls are wearing like bathing suits and flip-flops. So it was just a weird, like if she's doing all that running around, what are you in a sweater?
It's definitely to like immediately make you feel comfortable because she just looks like a warm, loving mom or something.
That
so
is
like,
very
oh,
true.
Thank God Alice is safe because random woman has shown up.
This random woman wearing her finest knit sweater. That's a good point. But you can't trust her.
No.
Speaking of her, she finally shows up. She rolls in. Alice thinks that it's Steve, but it's not. And she's like, oh, Alice, you're totally fine. Da, 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 da. You're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. I would have jumped in that freaking truck and been like, peace, and bailed. Why would you be like, I'll follow this woman. But at the same time, you would have gotten into a car with another dead body, which whatever. I did write. Also, she says, so young, so pretty, because that's how we value women. Young and pretty. Love it.
Of course. Yep. Ticks the
we
boxes.
Learn via a flashback that Jason drowned because two counselors were making love.
Yeah, I love that she says that because it doesn't sound dirty. It's like they were expressing the beautiful art of lovemaking and I had to kill them.
And I just had to do it because here we are.
Like she wasn't even like they were fucking or like they were having sex. It's
they were
like
having sex, yeah.
They were being intimate together.
They were making love. I have honestly what I probably – I was just so excited when I found this fact, and I'm so excited to finally arrive at this. The actor that played small boy Jason drowning in the water, do you know where he is now? Do you know what he's doing with his life?
I think he's on Cameo as like the first Jason. But
that is amazing.
I feel like
I did not know that.
Else. Yeah, tell
he's
me.
He's a TikToker, isn't he?
He probably is. He is the lead in a punk metal band called First Jason.
There you go.
Nice.
First Jason, heavy metal from Ari Lehman, the first Jason Voorhees. And I'm going to send you, I don't even know what music, like what song to send you right now. I think, there's a song called Jason Never Dies. So hang on, let me send you this link and I'm going to make you listen to this and we will just edit in the actual.
That's rad
music.
As hell.
It is unreal. If you have to like scroll down this page, it's under Machete is My Friend.
That reminds me that like Macaulay Culkin is in a band called Pizza Underground.
What?
Oh, have you not? Macaulay Culkin had like the problem like child celebrity thing, but then came back real hard.
Oh my gosh, I did not know that.
It's great. All right, I'm going to play Jason Never Dies real quick.
Okay. Come with a sword, but I didn't die in. Come with a gun, but I didn't die in. Come with a bomb, but I didn't die in. Jason's life, they can never end. You can use a chainsaw or a shotgun. You could be a samurai or an alien. You can carry weapons of mass destruction. Still you realize you can kill Jason. Jason never dies. Jason never dies. Get out.
they say, I'm telling you, I never listen to their lies. I am not afraid of death. Can you hear me growl? I'm on the prowl. I'm in the knee of
That is some soft 70s metal.
Yep. And so, I mean, like, listeners, I will put a – I mean, his website is firstjason.com. He has really, like, trademarked this idea of being the first Jason. He's got a whole website. There's some photos you can see. I was so excited because I noticed that he was on tour, but then I realized his website has not been updated since, I think, 2018. So that's an unfortunate thing. Yeah, which is a bummer because he was, like, traveling in, like, Indiana and Virginia and Oklahoma, and I almost bought tickets. It's fine. But yeah, y'all should go check this out. I cannot believe that this was a thing. He has a music video to a song called Kill for Mother, which nice. His disclaimer is, like, none of the things you're about to see represent in likeness of any – it's like a big disclaimer about, like, I'm not actually stealing this from Friday the 13th, guys. It's fine. I'm not going to
see it. While wearing a Jason mask. Necklace. He kind of looks like Ron Jeremy a little bit, which is
I was gonna say, or like Weird Al. Like, he was giving me like a Weird Al vibe.
Yeah, the hair for sure.
Oh,
so it is. I think, like, I don't know, I did not do like a deep dive on all the actors in this first film of like a Where Are They Now, but I think Mr. Layman is the winner. He plays a keytar and rocks this metal punk band, and you could see him in pictures with a lot of celebrities, unsurprisingly.
I mean, Betsy Palmer almost exclusively just goes to cons now, and
she's dead now.
Oh, is she?
Yeah,
okay.
She is. Yeah.
Before that, she was mostly just going to cons, but also notoriously hated playing Mrs. Voorhees.
It seemed like it. I will also mention that Mr. Layman, the first Jason, also made a hot sauce called Friday the 13th hot sauce or something like that.
Oh my God, I want that.
So I don't know if it's still available. I think the last I saw, there were some available on eBay, but he definitely made a hot sauce, and I sent you all a link to that too. It is unreal, I would say. Slasher sauce part two. Oh yeah, his brand is First Jason. So there's First Jason's slasher sauce, First Jason's Blood of the Lake hot sauce. First Jason slasher sauce part two.
Yeah, his branding is very much like, I'm not doing Jason from Friday the 13th. This is a different thing.
This is a totally different thing. This is an absolutely different thing.
It's not a hockey mask. It's like a other mask. It's a lacrosse mask.
Yeah, no, absolutely different. It's so different. It's not like it's a current hockey goalie mask, not like one of those classic ones, you know.
Exactly.
It's totally different brand we've got going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't get me confused and sue me, please.
I don't know if he's like, can he get sued? I wonder, because it's been so long. This came out in 1980, so what, 40 years since this movie came out? And so, like, is he allowed to still get sued? Can he cash in?
Friday the 13th, the game, actually got like a cease and desist even after, like, they released the game fully, had it out for a few years, and then the estate, I guess, was like, stop making content for your game. So they got real boned on that one.
Huh. Well, now I'm gonna just scrap all my prototypes for all my Friday the 13th everything.
I mean, the thing that you do is make it without telling anyone you're making it, so that it can at least get out there.
That's
and then
true.
It's fine. Just don't make money on it. It's just a passion project.
Or just like make enough money to cover all the costs of getting sued.
Exactly.
So yes, I had to go down the side road of where is the first Jason now, because this was too good to pass up. So yes, take a listen, y'all, to First Jason, the first Jason of Friday the 13th with his rocking keytar. So this is it's like kind of the end of the movie, because this wraps up really fast. There's a lot of really bad fight scenes, but we learn that Mrs. Voorhees is Jason's mom. Everything I've written from this point on is in caps in my notes. She's here to make sure that Steve didn't open the camp, but that didn't go too well. And so she tries to kill Annie, and Annie kind of like gently knocks her down. It's like a very like, push her over. It's fine.
Oh my God, you can draw and fight? Wow.
Yeah. It is crazy. Like, Well, she can barely fight. Let's be real. I don't want to give her that much credit. You had the chance. You had the chance. Then we hear, oh gosh, her like kill him, mommy, or kill her, mommy, kill her, like hearing Jason in her head thing.
Yes. Mm,
that was
choice.
That was good. I mean, that was good. It was good horror. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
Didn't love it, but it was good horror.
It's also the base of the music that we hear. I don't know if you know this, but like, do you want to go? Do you have it?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, you. Jackie, do you know what I'm going to say?
Tell the fact. You can tell the fact. Yes.
Okay. So when you think of the Friday the 13th music, a lot of people think, but really it's, which is like kill mom. So it's Jason from the beginning in Pamela's head telling her to kill all of the cancer.
It's dun, dun, dun. You did that so well, for the record.
Thank you. Out there. I hope it works on the audio.
That was really good. Like, our listeners are going to think that I just cut in the actual one. It's like, no, that was actually Char.
Just for the record, I'm a voice actor, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. And then we have poorly choreographed fight scene part one, where she hides, or Alice hides in the pantry and then finally gets spotted, which is super funny. But then Annie's dead. Alice pulls out a frying pan and like gets her and
which
is
was
like,
good.
Okay, smart. Yeah, super good. But again, the mistake, she hit her on the head and then just ran. It's like, no. You're allowed to kill her now because she tried to kill you and she killed all your friends. She told you that.
Double tap that bitch.
Cast iron is a strong choice for a melee weapon because, like, in real life, that one hit would kill someone.
It probably would. She should have definitely been knocked out. But I would have taken that knife. She did not do that. And so she just ran. And then, of course, Alice is just sitting at the lake like, oh, everything's going to be fine. Nope. Mrs. Voorhees is back. But she's like, wobbly. I guess if I were to equate this to, like, I don't know, I've been playing a lot of Paper Mario lately, so it's like
nice, like
a little less HP, or like HP in Dungeons and Dragons too. Like, she looks bloodied, I guess, would be the vibe, right? Like, you could have just taken her out, but you chose not to, and that's your fault. So it's a really awful fight scene, and then didn't see this one coming. Alice goes for it. She just chops her head clean off at the neck.
Hell yeah.
And if you look, it's like all in slow motion and you can see there are like three toothpicks in the neck where the head lops off. Yeah, because it wasn't staying on.
Oh my God.
But you could still see it.
I absolutely missed that. It was, oh, and I even missed the whole scene. I was so excited to get to this head chopping thing. There was a whole scene when Alice grabs a gun but couldn't find the bullets, so just pretended that she had bullets. It's like, no. It's not gonna work.
Oh, man.
It absolutely will not work. But yeah, that was hilarious watching the slow motion head chop, but then also watching Mrs. Voorhees' hands kind of like close into like no kind of like fists at the same time. It's like, again, is that how your body works?
Very manly, hairy,
the hairiest knuckles.
Oh my gosh, it was unreal.
It's also
unreal.
Like so slow too, like the slow motion is aggressive.
It was very aggressive. I think that's why we saw all these flaws. It's like, you could have sped that up a little bit and you would have gotten the vibe. Like, it would have been fine. You wouldn't have had to pay so much attention to the detail of the chopped head if you had put it at full speed, because we wouldn't have noticed.
It was a frame by frame.
Oh my gosh, it was slower than frame by frame. Jeez, it took a long time. I mean, it was funny and everything. I mean,
yeah, that was the goal. They wanted it to be hilarious.
Do you think so? Do you think they were going for blatant cheesy?
I think it was like, the audience should be like, please stop making me look at this very horrifying and terrifying scene. But then it's just like,
true.
Now we're like, oh man, I've watched some very, very gory things in 2020.
But they did want to go cheesy for the next part when they were in the boat.
Yeah, that's
true. Oh my gosh. That was the thing that probably freaked me out the most, because I mean, I gasped every time like someone was suddenly killed, but demon Jason like got like shooting out of this lake and just pulling her underwater was a beautiful moment, I would say, in terms of horror.
So it shocking.
Bonkers. It was
that was definitely
bonkers.
The only time that I jumped because I didn't. I also came into this movie without seeing it. I was a I was a fake horror fan until watching this. so then, like, having that scene where I was like, okay, I guess she just kind of, like, floats and the cops save her. That's cool. And then genuinely when he popped up, I had a jump scare and it was like, oh, God. Okay, well, that was entirely earned, I guess.
Yeah, like, they did deserve it. I mean, I guess I shouldn't have let my guard down. It's very, I mean, I'm embarrassed for it, but also I feel like it's like, oh, it's all over. We got the bad guy, even though I know full well there's a whole franchise after this. So clearly we didn't, but whatever. but yeah, but I guess, and I in my reading, and y'all probably know more about this, this was kind of supposed to be the end. Like, Jason was not supposed to come back and be the villain. Mrs. Voorhees was supposed to be the villain, and this was the wrap on it.
Yeah. But
then somehow he comes back, and I mean, we don't have to go all the way into the franchise, but it's an interesting choice to make him grow up, I guess.
It's literally just a money grab. Like, they full-on have to rewrite and, like, sort of ignore a lot of the lore that has been created from the first film. Because, as you said, Jackie, like, this is 20 or so years later from him dying. And at the end of the film, he's still a child. But then slight spoiler for Friday the 13th part 2. Jason is the killer in that one, but he's a man. He's like 20 something. So like he aged up normally.
Yeah. I want to imagine that like either there is some mysterious element where it's like, oh yeah, what she saw in the lake was like the spirit of Jason. Like it was it was the maybe Camp Crystal Lake has some sort of like spiritual element and this goblin popped out and attacked her. Or it was a dream, and she, like, after this huge traumatizing event of, like, Pamela describing what happened to her son, she floats out into the middle of the water and, like, has a PTSD trigger already about, hey, man, this is what it would probably look like if there was a child rotting in this lake. Or they didn't think about it, and that's the most realistic one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's kind of what's implied, right? Because when she wakes up suddenly in the hospital, I can't remember if the police officer said we pulled you out of the lake or like we saw you floating in the lake. Like, I can't remember if she was actually in the water at any time in, quote, real world.
Yeah, so maybe but they that's do it, say that there wasn't a boy, like, there's nobody in the water. It was just you or whatever, so.
Dun, dun, dun. He's still in the lake. My only other theory on why he would grow up is because Jason was having his mom do all his bidding, which, like, as someone who once was a 10-year-old, I get that. To be like, yeah, you do it. But, and now that his mom is dead, like, he has to go do her, like, the thing. Like,
that's
he has
true.
To finally, he can finally like, let puberty kicked in.
Yeah.
Could He's you been imagine? Holding back.
Oh, my God. Friday the 13th with, like, a hormonal 13-year-old would be so interesting to watch.
Jeez.
Oof. It's literally Friday the 13th.
She's like, hey, Jason, there's a bunch of kids sitting up in Camp Blood. Do you want to go kill them? No. I
no,
don't.
No.
God.
No, Mom, you do it. Wow. If you want to do it so bad, you do
kill
it.
Kill yourself. Fine,
if you like it
do
so much,
it.
Why don't you marry it?
Get me my pillowcase. I look gross. I have pimples and stuff. I'm going to put a pillowcase on my head.
Is that why he wears the hockey mask?
Because of all the pimples, because he hit puberty fucking hard.
Because his mom never taught him about basic hygiene. Oh, no.
Because he's washing his face with fucking swamp water.
That is true. Man, we have just cracked this franchise right open.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you to watch these. You got to do it like every Halloween or like every October. You got to watch the next one.
I probably will. Honestly, I'll just have y'all back. We can talk about Jason's pimples and his body odor, and it'll be really lovely. But yeah, that's kind of the end of this movie. I mean, Alice says that there's still a boy in the lake and dun, dun, dun. And then all of a sudden it made a shit ton of money and 7,000 movies and one space movie later. We're here.
The rest is history.
Hopefully just one. The rest is history.
I'm not spoiling the rest of it.
Oh my God, I'm terrified.
He also gets to meet his boyfriend Freddy at some point, but that's later.
Uh-oh. Oh gosh, I have a whole history lesson ahead of me from both of you, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how many people have not seen this movie. I know that when I told folks that I was watching this, there was a firm like, oh, I'll never watch that because I don't like horror movies, or like, oh yeah, I've watched that a million times. I will say, as a non-horror movie person, this was not bad. I mean, the gore, because we are 40 years later, like we've come a long way in terms of good special effects that make you actually think things are really happening. And this, you can kind of understand what's real and what's fake. The drum scares get you. I'm not going to lie. But now that we've already spoiled the ending, you probably won't be scared.
You'll be ready for it.
Yeah. It's a good, it's a classic that I think is a good opener if you're wanting to test out horror without going too deep into the genre.
I always recommend like old enough movies that like you can disconnect yourself from the horror so much that like it can just kind of slowly transition you into maybe being a horror fan. Or just like Friday the 13th, if you liked it.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to summer camp or like you send your kids to summer camp, maybe this isn't the movie for you. But
yeah,
you know, just know what's up.
Or it's aspirational that you'll be a really good mother that avenges the death of your child by killing a bunch of people.
Yes. If you are a woman and think that you are pretty and have skills, maybe this is the movie for you. Oh my gosh. Well, Kelly, Char, thank you both so much. Remind us again where we can find Drinking and Screaming, please, because I think everyone should go subscribe right now.
Yes, of course. We're available wherever you're listening to this. We are there. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it. We're there. If you want more information on us, you can go to our website, www.drinkingandscreaming.com, and you can follow us on social media at @drink_scream.
That was kind of horror in itself. Wherever you're listening to this, we're there.
We're
behind
there.
You. That's us.
They're right behind you. Look out. But it's a good scare. It's a good scare. It's a really good
scare. The podcast
was
coming from inside the house.
It has been so lovely. Again, all of our patrons are going to get access to the amazing recipe for the drink that Kelly has named Burn Down Camp Blood, which I think is very fitting. It is super, super good. Honestly, if you are even not an alcohol drinker, there's some substitutions you can make here. It is very good. But I think I always kind of close with, what are the things, if you've never seen this movie before and you want to talk about it like you have seen it, what are the like things you should say?
Ooh, so you could be a fake friend. I love that.
Yeah, you want to just like, you want to just kind of like blend into the conversation. You don't want to draw too much attention to
yourself. I mean, definitely don't. Like, the trap that you could easily fall into is being like, yeah, I love the first Friday the 13th. Jason's so scary with his mask and machete.
Absolutely. So that is true. That is what not to say.
Something I would say is like, a lot of the acting in this film is so dated. It's very of its time and like fake size and and like, it's just very comedic to watch back now. So you can always talk about that and laugh about that.
Absolutely. Or, of course, the most fun game that the teens are playing these days, Strip Monopoly.
Yeah. Hey, watching Friday the 13th is fun, but hey, you want to go play some Strip Monopoly?
Yeah, we should just, I think the three of us are going to go play right now. So listeners, we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Sean here, your producer. I'd like to take a moment to thank our supporters in the Academy on Patreon for their generous, ongoing support of the show. Thanks to Lindsay and Mick, Paul, Brianna, Logan, Jarrett, Thomas, Linda, and Missy. Jackie Watch the Stuff is supported by listeners like you. If you'd like to join the Academy and get a shout out for supporting us, among other cool benefits, visit patreon.com/JackieWatchesStuff. You can also support the show by giving us a review on iTunes or sharing us with your family and friends. Thanks again to Char and Kelly from Drinking and Screaming. You can connect with them on Twitter and Instagram at @drink_scream or wherever you listen to podcasts. Keep an ear out for when Jackie and I join their podcast for a very scary episode later this month. There's more info in the show notes. You can also listen to a ton of different scary podcasts all month long, thanks to All the Horror. Follow them on Twitter at AllTheHorror18. And don't forget to check out the creepy merchandise being sold to support Scares That Care. We have a link to the store in our show notes. Jackie Watches Stuff is hosted by Jackie Vetrano and produced by me, Sean Flynn. You can find me on Twitter at WXGeek. Jackie Watches Stuff is available wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen online at JackieWatchesStuff.com. You can also send us your thoughts on Friday the 13th on Twitter. We're at Jackie Watches. Thanks for listening, and join us next time when Jackie watches Pretty Woman.